Thank you, Pam. Beautiful job. Beautiful song. Words are so true. Thank you for being here this morning, each one of you. It is good to see a good number here. This place should have been full. And I will hear a lot of excuses from people who are not here. Excuses. There's a difference in a reason and an excuse, and there are some people who probably have a reason, but most people will have an excuse. And why I would be a little more emphatic about them being here today is that this is a week when we're supposed to be thankful. And I don't know how many of our people I've heard stand up and ask for prayer for somebody, for themselves, for somebody else. And I believe they're sincere in that. I've never taken a one of them as being lightly asked. I think they mean it. But rarely, once in a while, one of you will get up and say, I've got a praise. We forget sometimes to thank the Lord for answering those prayers. And we show up when we need Him, and as soon as He takes care of us, we're gone. And I'm sorry that there are so many people that way. And that's why I appreciate each one of you who are here this morning, and I hope that you came because you are thankful for what the Lord has done for you in your life. I found it interesting, two things that will be interesting already to me this morning that none of you would have any indication of. And one is that, Pam, I don't know how many days this week that song had come to my mind, and I didn't know the words excepting I need you more today than I did yesterday. And it was so true, and it was just timely that you did it. The second one was 53 years ago, a few minutes after midnight this morning, I became a father for the first time, and we did not know, we were so old that we didn't know whether we were going to have a little boy or a little girl. And when the nurse first came out and told me, she told me, well, I believe you had a little boy, but I'm not sure. And that left me in a quandary. And so she came back in just a few minutes and said, no, I was mistaken. You have a little girl. And so her name was Diamela. That had been picked out. I had a cousin who used to keep asking Shirley. She was just a little girl at the time. She kept asking Shirley, what are you going to name the baby? And Shirley would not tell her. You know, she would not tell anyone because she was afraid somebody else. And I don't know why she would have thought somebody else would have come up with that name and named theirs that, because we've never heard anyone name that since. But anyway, Shirley just said, well, I won't tell. Didn't tell anyone. But every time that she would ask that, why Sandy was her name, and I'd say, Sandy, I'll tell you what we're going to name her. I said, you know, if it's a little girl, I want her to be famous, and I want her name to be in lights and be famous in all the theaters, so we're going to call her Exit. And and that would just make Sandy so mad because I would tell her that, you know, but she sure had her name in the lights. Well, enough of my nonsense. As I thought about us being thankful today, and each of us do have a lot to be thankful for, every single one of us. I know some of you have been through some very difficult and some hard times this past year, and can rightfully say, you know, it has not been as good a year as I would have liked. But I can assure you that based on my observations, each one of us are very blessed and are very fortunate, and we need to be thankful for that. And I don't mean to sound mean or bitter when I talk about those people who should have been here this morning. And they should not have been here because of me. They should have been here this morning to say, thank you, Lord. And I've come to your house. Now, I recognize that people can worship the Lord anywhere. I used to have a deacon in Santa Paula, and he had a tendency to want to take off on me, especially during the good weather months, to go up in the mountains. And he'd say, well, you know, Ken, I can worship up there just the same as I can down here with you all. And I said, no, you can't. I said, I'm not saying you can't worship the Lord up there, because he can be up there, but you can't worship the same as if we are here with the other people. And the Bible very clearly teaches that we need to assemble ourselves together, and that we need that fellowship one with another. Most importantly, though, we need to be able to come to the Lord's house. And that's what I perceive this as being, is his house. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's his house. And we are privileged to gather here and to thank him from time to time. Bible says, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. That I would like for you to think about a little bit this morning. And that's probably typical of what happens today. God, he blesses people, and he blesses them many, many different times and in many different ways. And most of the time we forget then that it wasn't just enough to ask him for things. We need to thank him for things. We need to say, thank you, Lord. As I had him sing the song this morning, it is well with my soul. When you think about that, that's a powerful message right there in itself. Just to be able to say, everything is well with my soul. And it is because God has been gracious and good to me. He has blessed me beyond measure. There is no way in the world that I could ever thank him enough for all the blessings he has given me. You are a blessing to me. And I want you to know that this church is a blessing to me. Salvation of the Lord is a blessing unto me. If I never received anything else excepting the gift of eternal life, it is enough that I should have every day of my life said, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I still about every morning, not quite every morning because I've changed my routine a little bit, but just about every morning I get out on my knees and I sing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy salvation so great and so free. And I mean that from the depths of my heart, that I thank the Lord that he has saved my soul. I'm thankful that he counted me as one that he could entrust a portion of his word to declare to the souls of men that are lost. And so I'm thankful this morning that I can stand with so many others who are representing the Lord Jesus Christ and declare his word, to tell other people about him, to help to declare his word to you, that you who are his children, and it is well with your soul, that you might spiritually be fed, that you might grow, and that you might be strengthened in the work of the Lord, so that as you work from day to day, that you can go out here and say with the Apostle Paul, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And then Paul wrote again in another place and said, for as much as in me is. Now that's a lot. You know, whatever there is within us. So much of the time, we just enter into the Lord's work just haphazardly and just half-heartedly, and we're going to give him just the minimal amount of service that he's deserving of. We're going to do just whatever we think that we can get by with, not the best we have. You know, I'm convinced just as surely as I'm here this morning that the Lord deserves the very best from each and every one of us, whatever that might be, whatever talent He has blessed us with, that we need to take that talent and use it to His glory and to His honor. I want you to listen. I read to you out of the 17th chapter of the book of Luke, that first portion. Now then, I want you to listen to what the psalmist says. He said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." That used to kind of be a favorite verse that people like to quote, was to say, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And that's about as far as it got, you know. There wasn't much else that was said other than that they could quote it. But sometimes, people, we need to share what the Lord has done for us in our lives. We need to be able to share that with other people. You don't need to be preachy. You don't have to be able to quote all kinds of scripture, but you need to be able to share with other people when given the opportunity of the goodness of the Lord. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." Now see, the psalmist said they from every direction, from every place upon the face of the earth. The Lord has done this. I'm so thankful this morning that God is not limited to Elkton Baptist Church or Hickory County or the state of Missouri. I tell people when I was in Tennessee that I got the impression those people thought the only place the Lord existed was there in Tennessee. And certainly He didn't have any place in California. And I kiddingly used to say, you know, they think I came here from Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, you know, California has its share of problems like every place else does. But Missouri does too, and Tennessee did too. But the Lord is not confined nor limited. Now, I mentioned earlier that this is His house, and it is, and it was dedicated many, many years ago for people to be able to come here and to worship Him and to serve Him and to be spiritually fed, to hear the Word, to have their souls saved, and we need to keep that in mind. And yet the wise old man of the Lord, Solomon, whenever he had built that beautiful temple unto the Lord and he prayed that dedicatory prayer, he said, "Not even the heaven of heavens can contain You, how much less this house which I have built in Thy name." So we need to understand this morning that God is not confined to this building. He is not limited to just living within this space. Certainly it's good to feel His presence here and to be able to come and to worship Him as we feel led to worship Him. But we need not think for a second that we cannot find Him wherever that we are. Can He be found in the mountains? Absolutely. Can He be found on the ocean? Absolutely. Can He be found in the foreign places of this great world? Absolutely, He can. But let me assure you this morning, the most important place that He is in your heart and in your life, and that you can say, "It is well with my soul," this morning. Now listen, He said, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses." See, we're not the only ones who call upon the Lord. And maybe we don't do it often enough. Maybe we do wait until we're in trouble. We wait until we've tried everything else. I've been guilty of this myself. I've seen the time whenever there was some obstacle that was out there that I needed to be able to overcome, and the first thing I do is try everything I knew. Try everything. Do everything that I knew to do. And then I say, "Lord, I need Your help. I need You more today than I did yesterday." Why would I be so thoughtless? I started to say stupid, but I'm that way most all the time. As to think that I shouldn't have called on Him first. But no, I want to try everything myself first. And then when that fails, then we say, oh, Lord, we need you to help us. Well, we needed him in the beginning. We didn't need him at the end. Well, we still needed him in the end, but we try everything else. The Bible says that the psalmist said here, he said, and they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Listen to what the psalmist has to say. He said, oh, that men would just praise the Lord for his goodness, for his goodness. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and continued and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Again, the psalmist says, you know, when we finally get in trouble, after that we've gotten ourselves in trouble, and when we need the Lord, then we call on him. And the Bible says, and he was there. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of the brass and cut the bars of iron in asunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. How many times has he said that already? Three times already. He's going to say it again. And if he said it a dozen times, it wouldn't be too many. He'd probably be just like I'm going to be when I finish here this morning. And you're going to go out the door, and most of them say, I don't remember what he said up there this morning. But that's not unusual. That's not unusual. You know, that is just something that as a preacher I've learned over the years, that if I can just get them to remember one little thing out of anything that was said through a whole 30-minute message, and I've been double-checking. I'm getting a little longer with my messages, and so I've got to start trying to get cut back a little more. Now, some of you would disagree with me on that, but I check the time on them. I've got the time from the time we started recording them here. Every message, every Sunday morning, so that I know when I've run 32 minutes and when I've run 22 minutes. And so I need to get kind of that happy balance. Now, I've not been running much over 30 most of the time. I've got an average still under 30, but I don't want to let it to get over that. It certainly used to always say to me, you know what, Ken, if a preacher can't say it in 15 minutes, it probably doesn't need to be said. And I think that's probably about right. She liked those short ones. You know, but I first started, I guess I was shorter than that, but not in the last years. Listen, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, or at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and lost my place. And bringeth them and he bringeth them out of their distress. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness, and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwelleth therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into a water spring. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth content upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and iniquity shall stop their mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. What a wonderful psalm. What a wonderful song that the psalmist was here singing of praise unto the Lord. And I hope that each one of you in these coming days will take a little time. I know that we are moving into, in many respects, what should be the most joyful season of the year, and yet, quite frankly, it has become the most dreaded season. We have more difficulties, we have more problems, we have more unhappy people than at any other time of the year, when we start probably from this week or from this day until we get past the first of the year. And that's sad, people. It's sad that we have become a people that have become so engrossed with all of the trappings and the traditions that we are expected to carry out, that we forget what the true meaning of this season of the year is. And I hope that we'll start today and be determined to say, first of all, it is well with my soul. If it is not, that we will get right with the Lord, and nobody can do that excepting us. That we can remember that we do need him more today than we did yesterday. How wonderful it is to know that we're coming to the time of celebration. That's what this season is supposed to be about. A celebration of thanksgiving for the goodness of God Almighty, that he has granted us another year, and the blessings he has blessed us with. For the birth of his son. And that we celebrate that birth rather than we dread the thoughts of all the trappings that are going to go along with it. So maybe this is my Christmas message a little early this time.